Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
No, but it does, you know the whole tip thing. No, I was telling you, I'm like, dude, there's like a giant tip there. Just pick another part of the tip. Doesn't work like that. It's when you can't have
but
something
it's not just
is
the
when
tip.
You really,
it's
really want
it. It's not just the tip.
It's not just the tip.
You know, that's the second time I made the tip joke in like 24 hours.
Where else did you make it? Last night?
Was that the
with your wife?
Christmas party?
Oh, okay.
No, it was at the Christmas party, and this guy was showing me his Disney tattoo, and he had to pull his pants down a bit. And I'm like, whoa, that... It goes, and then I said to him, don't worry, I didn't see anything, I just saw the tip.
There's a rat called Rattus, he's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana, she's fluffy but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Mix, he's a mother, not a mixed up bunny.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by... What? Was that...
That
sounded
Mike.
Like a sound clip.
Hey.
That sounded like a sound clip.
Oh, sweetie.
And?
I already said Mike. But just in case, Mike.
Was that a sound clip? Seriously, it sounded like a sound clip. Okay.
I don't want to tell that again. We don't have enough battery left. Keep going.
So, the episode opens... I don't think... You've thrown me off course. Season 2, episode 14, Joe's Army. It
two
opens
water
to
car,
Keith
two
driving.
More
two more. Yeah, I know. This
including
one,
this
one
yes.
And the next one. Yeah.
So close.
Yeah, so we have Keith, who's driving the car. The car's back. And the ferals scare Keith and fake Kylie out of the car and jump in the car themselves.
We should clarify, this is the broken car that doesn't actually go anywhere. Not Joe's flashy car.
That's true.
The Beastmaster.
Although...
The Beastmaster.
He doesn't have the Beastmaster anymore, does he?
He had it for one episode and then... No, because didn't it get repossessed? Because it turned out he didn't have enough money. Yeah.
But he's got another car.
Yeah, it got repossessed.
Because we knew that Robbie borrowed the other car.
Yes, he does have another car.
Which is also a bit of a beast.
Because he had in this episode... anyway,
can I just say when Keith and Kylie going in the car, then the camera pans around the car to where the ferals are. That was one of the best camera angles and Trent camera, I guess, pans that I've seen in the series so far. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That there's a few really well done scenes.
Well, the last episode as well had some interesting camera shots that we'd never seen before. Maybe they were, like, trying to advertise for new jobs.
Look what we can do.
Maybe at this stage they know, no more seasons of the ferals. I'm going to do feral TV.
When I don't remember if Mal explained. When did they find out that there wasn't going to be a third season?
I thought they knew it from the start. Oh. We definitely asked him that question.
I thought we did.
I think he said something along the lines that they said that it would continue, but it might be in a different format.
Right.
Which is exactly what ended up happening. So.
Yes. For the worst.
Different, poorer format, yeah. So, this episode, we see Robbie and Lenny have moved back into the apartment.
Yay.
Yes, it was like old times. It was awesome. It brought a tear to my eye.
Aww.
It was like old times this episode, actually, wasn't it? Well, cause, we also had
cause Lenny's, yeah.
Joe busting in.
Well, Lenny's building Lenny something, inventing Robbie's stuff. Playing exactly. with the guitar, and Joe busting
the episode was like, half good. Just like the old times.
And now I'm like fully 50-50 on whether Robbie plays his guitar or not.
This
I don't know, what do you think?
Yes, I noticed that too.
It looked like she was playing in this scene. It really yep. did.
Well, I actually thought it looked like she wasn't playing, but it looks like she knows how to play.
Because she was definitely doing some chord... Like, she was doing some good movements, but...
Yeah.
I have a feeling that it's just... She's not playing what is actually being played that's done in post.
No.
But
yeah,
she's definitely. Actually doing some chord movements. Now, unless she just learnt those just to make it look like she knows how to play.
Gee, I don't know. Her fingering skills look pretty good, to be honest.
You idiot.
Magic fret fingers.
So,
fretting skills? We're gonna be clear. I don't know what it's called. I don't play the guitar.
We have to be very clear on what the question is, because we're going to ask her, Kylie, who played Robbie. So we're going to still shoot that list of questions. It might be in time for the final episode. But what is the question that we're trying to ask? See, for me, the question is, do you know how to play guitar, or did you know how to play guitar?
Yes, I think it needs to say, did you know how to play the guitar during your time?
That's the first question.
On the Ferals.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at fingering a guitar?
Yes.
Can we just be clear that Mike is coming nowhere near this list of questions?
No. He's not even looking at a draft of the questions. and
given that I never listen to any of our episodes, I don't think I'm ever going to find out what the answers are.
I think we're going to read the answers on the... what do you think? This is just for our general amusement. We're going to ask her and then just... We're not even going to talk about it. We're not even going to talk about it on the show. and I think the next is, you know, were there any episodes that you actually played the guitar and it wasn't just post? Which I think the answer is going to be no for me. So, now, I've got a bit of hay fever. Which is a good segue, I think, because I'm sniffing a lot, to what Lenny's invention is.
Mm-hmm.
But he teased us. They had the old, this device will help us, and then we're waiting, and then they changed to another scene, and then come back.
And the classic Ferals thing of Robbie plays the guitar, and it kind of disrupts the invention a bit.
Yes.
And that's the last we ever hear of that particular point.
Until the end. But at least they added it. It wasn't like, was it 2 episodes ago or something? The one that I really hated, where everything felt super contrived. At least in this one, they set something up from the start, you forget about it, and they bring it back. So I think that's okay. They can get away with that.
Isn't that still contrived?
Not as contrived as look, she plays the guitar, she was practicing like she always does. Yeah, you could see how it fits in,
I thought it was a good setup. Okay. They didn't need to beat you over the head with it, because then it would have just been constantly reminding her, well, when's this going to come up? So I remembered it, but I kind of did lose it a bit, and then when it came back in, I'm like,
I remember that.
I I totally forgot. I forgot that, you know, the guitar disrupts the field.
What field?
But,
we haven't talked about it yet.
Okay. No, but I was talking about that. I was giving the segue as I was sniffing a lot as to what the name of the invention is, and then you guys didn't take my bait.
No, but we like to do things in order, whereas you like to do things proper.
So basically, they invent this machine.
So you guys are waiting until we talk
about it. Lenny creates this machine called the Solar Neutronic Integrated Force Field, or the SNIF.
Wow. Oh. Mike is on top of
and
this.
He's like, that particular device will be used throughout the episode.
Now, can I just say...
Kind of like a flashback.
The sniff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sniff. That's what I'm doing in this episode. You hear me sniffing.
Yeah. Now, I decided to Google
some white stuff.
Sniff. The sniff.
Yeah.
And to see what I found.
The sniff.
Now, did you guys...
Now, can I just say... This is given your search history. So, whatever the results are, I'm going to say they're skewed. Go on.
Okay, so it shows Urban
Beast
Dictionary.
Beastmaster! It came up with Urban Dictionary, the first thing, did it?
Yeah, one of them. One of the first things. And
I reckon if I search it right now, it will not do that.
Nah. Okay. Basically, you know how we talked about slang about being on the pool and how that would sound very weird to certain people? Mike didn't even know that slang.
Nope.
People apparently...
Mike's an ignorant douchebag.
Although I can't find any other proof other than Urban Dictionary. On the
Proof enough.
On the sniff is the same as on the pool.
Oh.
Wow.
So can I just... This is what it states on Urban Dictionary. To be on the lookout for a sexual partner originates from the animal world where the male of, and female of a species will sniff each other's genitals before copulation. And the example... Aww. The example... Where are you going tonight, love? Out in the sniff, mum. Craig, don't be rude. And...
That's awesome.
What I love is in the search results, a couple of search results down is about a recent Australian political scandal, and it says Bronwyn Bishop's $5,000 helicopter ride to Liberal fundraiser fails the sniff test, according to Joe Hockey. So I'm like, what's the sniff test when we're talking about the Australian Liberal Party?
I reckon Joe Hockey must have gone on a few sniff nights back in his day. Bronwyn possibly
anyway. See, that's so funny that you said, you know, a recent or relatively recent Australian sniff, you know, related thing. I thought you were talking about the chair sniffer.
Chair sniffer?
In WA.
What was that again?
So there was this WA politician who got caught, like, so, you know, they're in a big meeting room or whatever, right? And everyone left and he stayed behind. And, you know, people walked out the door and he started sniffing the chairs that some of the female colleagues were sitting on.
What? You're kidding me? How did I not hear this?
Yeah.
That's a really weird fetish.
Was he an actual elected representative?
Yeah, dude. He was like, what's it called? The leader of
the pack.
Yeah. The leader of the Liberal Party over in WA.
What? A state leader?
Yeah,
I'm assuming he's been fired.
The opposition leader.
I think there's a lot of people with really weird quirks that, you know, are in pretty high up positions.
So, I know. But the
this
thing is
probably the least weird thing, I reckon. Just people just don't get caught.
So,
and then another time it goes, the incident took place in front of other staff and was done to get a laugh.
Can I just say, when he did it in secret, that one...
Mm.
Did they catch him on camera, or did someone walk back in and he's like, oh, I'm just looking for my Mars bar I dropped or something?
I'm not sure. I think he got caught, but I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Imagine you're like a secretary or an admin person for the state Liberal Party and you walk in on your leader doing that. Oh my God.
It's kind of a weird one, right? Because it's like you feel like you've been violated somehow, but...
Really?
Well... That have these.
I know, this is the thing. Is it violated? You've kind of been violated, but like,
how?
I don't know. It's just weird.
Look, I granted it's weird, but I don't see how you could possibly be violated because someone sniffed a chair you sat on half an hour ago.
I would probably
that's like being violated by someone looking at you. Come on, don't be so prissy.
Because no one can feel violated by
it's weird, I agree, but being violated because someone sniffed a chair you sat on? Come on.
I just love it.
That's pushing
violate
the
doesn't
boundaries
always have
of,
to be a physical interaction.
How were you violated? Like, what's the violation exactly?
I would feel violated if someone sniffed the chair I just sat on.
Why?
Because I don't feel I need to justify that.
Yeah, you do. Why?
No, I... No, exactly. This was kind of my point. Like, I get it's like I said, you feel violated, but it's kind of weird that you feel violated.
It is.
Like,
there's no rational reason for you to feel violated. Explain. It's just an emotional response.
But emotions aren't always rational. We've been through this before, Mike.
Yeah.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense
to me.
I would find it weird. I'd be like, dude, what the how you doing? But I wouldn't
be
violated
would you react
or
like
offended
that?
By it. I'd just find it weird.
But then why would you say, why the F would you do that?
Well, because it's kind of weird and not exactly a normal thing for someone to do that. And I'd like to know why he would do that. Because, you know, maybe he's got some weird reasons that are not very apparent and I can't possibly think of why.
If you put your jacket on your chair, which apparently you can't do at your work anymore, but if you put your jacket on your chair...
That is crazy.
Anyway. And someone comes up and starts sniffing the armpits of your jacket.
Yes.
You'd just be like, That's just weird, man. Don't do that. You wouldn't feel violated.
I seriously would. No, I don't know why you could possibly feel violated.
You're such a liar. You get so emotional, man. You're like one of the most emotional people I know.
Are you freaking serious? Why would I get why violating my what? My personal space? What is it violating? I don't get it.
Well, it is. Yeah, you got it on the head. It is, you know, your personal space, isn't it?
No, it isn't. It's a group space that I happen to have sat on 5 minutes ago. That's not my personal space.
But you don't have the expectation that someone's going to go and sniff where you used to sit.
All right, what's the difference between that and say you're wearing like perfume or whatever, someone walks past and sniffs the air that you walk through? What the hell's the difference? do you guys feel violated when someone walks past and goes, oh, you smell good today?
I think a lot of it has to do with the intention and the way that an action is performed. It's not as simple as that.
Still would not feel violated. I would be weirded out, possibly, but not violated.
Possibly.
It's where you...
You'd possibly be weirded out.
Dude, like, there's like way worse things that people have... I've seen and witnessed and stuff. Besides some dude sniffing my freaking jacket. Who gives a shit? I think it's weird, but not... Oh my god, you just raped me with your nose. Which is kind of what you guys are making it out to be, really.
No, I'm not. We're not saying that. But I think it's like, if you've put cologne on or perfume, you've made an effort to try to smell good. So it's like, it's normal for someone. It's like a compliment. But if you haven't, and they're like, ooh, you smell good, like your body odor smells nice, that's weird, man. That's like creepy.
It's like, yeah, if someone comes up to you and sniffing your hair, they're not touching you, but they're like, your hair smells really nice. See, Mike would take that as a compliment.
I would. I'd be like, now, why, thank you. I use the following shampoo.
Now that goes
even
into
if, sorry,
a
even
segue.
If it was a stranger on like a train
even
station
if
platform,
it was a stranger, it's...
I
get like zero human contact. If someone came up to me and said that, I'd be like, finally, someone's talking to me. Thank you.
I had that exact situation happen to me on at Sunshine Train Station years ago. Yeah. A dude, like some weird drunk dude,
what?
Yeah. He starts talking to me, and then I'm like, okay, cool, like just trying to not prolong the conversation and slowly walk away. He's like, by the way, do you know, you smell nice. And I'm like, what?
And I'm like, thanks, random drunk dude.
No.
It wasn't.
Mike's
like, that's a nice compliment. It wasn't a compliment, yeah, Mike. It was creepy
not
as
like
hell.
That.
Okay. I'd take it as a compliment.
See, in terms of the hair sniffing, that reminds me of the current Prime Minister of New Zealand who was pulling people's hair.
Did you hear about this? You've just linked to an article. Let me have a look at this.
Including children.
Wait, what? Okay,
and it all came out when this Auckland waitress said, like, she got so sick of him touching her hair that she spoke to the media. And then they went back and they found all these videos of him pulling children's hair and women's hair and everything. He loves to pull people's hair.
It's a bit weird.
That's a weird little quirk. I don't think there's probably nothing sexual about it. It's a weird little habit, but...
So Mike thinks that's not weird, yet sniffing your anyway, I'm confused. Sorry, he thinks
I never
that's
said
weird,
it's not weird. I said I wouldn't get violated. There's a weird difference. I can think something's weird, yet not feel violated for it happening.
All right,
like, yes,
all right.
A random dude saying, oh my god, you smell nice on the street. Yeah, I think it's weird. It's not something people normally do, but I wouldn't feel violated if someone did that.
Mm.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, this is not getting back to the episode, but we'll force it. So, force it back to the episode, I guess. Force sniffing and... Anyway, so Keith and Fake Kylie are sick of the ferals, you know, getting in their car in the tip and all that kind of stuff. So they decided to put up a barricade, put some barbed wire up around the tip, and declare it a feral-free zone. Now, I thought it was very foolish of the ferals to attack, because Keith and Faye Kylie had the higher ground.
Correct.
Oh, of course. They should have learned from Anakin.
Army Strategy 101.
When they started to attack and then they got just bombarded, I'm like, you fool! They had the higher ground!
Have you never played Command & Conquer? What the hell? Which came out in the same year as this did, give or take.
I can't remember what episode it was. It was probably even season one. We talked about how we could see the start of like gang warfare happening, and this is exactly what happened in this episode.
Yes,
perfect.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we've already covered the sniff machine, right? Mm-hmm. The part of it that we didn't see is when Joe busted in with his army gear and he's going to be an army reservist. I felt like it was taking the piss out of the army a little bit. Did you guys feel that? Or
yeah.
It was just Joe, who's a bit of a bumbling idiot.
Well, Joe kind of gets
it. I thought
his,
it was okay.
It was alright. Because he gets his, you know, his fingers dipped into everything, so it's just something else he's trying out.
That's true.
Do you have to use like every saying in such a weird way? Your fingers dipped in everything.
Oh yeah. It's gonna happen now. Everything's every gonna have some fingering involved.
Jesus.
Can you tell me when to get ready, John?
This is the first time that we see the power of the force field. So Joe keeps running into the force field. I think out of everyone running into the force field, because obviously there isn't a force field.
No.
I think Joe or Mig, he does the best job at like doing the acting for hitting it.
But the only thing is, half the time his hand and his arm were past where his head was hitting.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Where is he supposed to act somehow? Like that, his whole body, like...
you can move your head ahead of you without doing that. It's just... It happened all throughout this episode. Every time that someone tried to move through the force field, it would only be their head affected.
Okay, so let me say this. How does the force field work? Exactly.
Right? Oh, true.
Because you're making
neutronic.
An assumption.
Neutronic? Isn't that something? No, that's not.
Yeah, so maybe it's the brain or something.
Yeah, maybe. So if you chop off your head...
It is solar neutrons.
Okay, so... Getting back to the tip invasion, so the Ferals are trying to come up with plans. The plans included Darren wanting to call a bomb threat, and then also wanting to fart, like almost chemical warfare, to try to kick them out. Very violent, very violent.
Mm. And then
this episode was super violent, actually.
And then they all fantasize about weapons.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I know, they keep on going, oh, we're going to get, like AK-47s and shoot them down and...
Heat-seeking
get
missiles.
The tanks blowing them. Yeah, heat-seeking...
And, okay, I thought, you know, these days, video games are a lot more realistic than they used to be. And I thought it was a bad idea to let, like, 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds play Call of Duty, but this wasn't that much better. It's like, bang, let's use M16s and, you know, whatnot. So.
Yeah, but... If you say, let's use M16s, kids not going to know what an M16 even is. It's just...
They said M16 machine gun. They actually said M16
yeah,
machine
but I mean,
gun.
Like, when you were that
I
age...
I knew what it was. I reckon yeah, I knew what I it reckon. Was when I was, like, 12.
A kid knows 30. What a machine gun is.
Yeah, I agree, but there's a difference between implying, hey, let's use a machine gun, and there you go. You get a machine gun in a virtual world, and you mow down hundreds of people. Yeah. I think it's a lot worse nowadays. Way worse.
Can I put this to both of you guys? This went to air in, I think, 95, right?
Yes.
95, yeah.
The Port Arthur massacre happened in April 96. Do you guys think that... Mm. No, because... I'm not... I'm making a serious point here.
Right.
Because basically, at that point, for anyone who doesn't know... the government initiated a buyback scheme and essentially...
Well, about 600. Take a step back. What happened? What happened in Port Arthur?
The 35 people were massacred and a whole lot of people were injured by a madman in Tasmania. And essentially, that mass shooting caused the government to make a fantastic decision to buy back a lot of weapons and firearms. And I think it was almost 650,000 weapons were bought.
Wow.
And they funded it through increasing Medicare, which is our public health kind of, you know, health cover.
Oh, so I basically, didn't know that
part
of it. Yeah, by making a slight increase to the levy. Now, do you guys think that they would have had this episode after that whole gun control issue?
No way. Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe.
You reckon? Nah. Way too sensitive.
It wasn't, like, full-on gun this, gun that, so...
Well, in this scene, they talked a lot about guns, and I think they probably... It would have affected this scene if... Probably not the whole episode, but they're like, oh, how can you win a war without weapons? And then, you know... Joe actually makes a really good point. He's like, you know, like, it's not all about weapons, it's about strategy and stuff like that. It's really good.
What I love about it is that Joe is, like, the sensible one in this, that Darren has most of the good ideas now. The show's gone, like... It's, like, forgotten which character's which.
Yeah.
Because you're right. They were talking about, oh, how else can we get rid of them apart from killing them? There was a lot of, like, threats to kill people in this episode, I will say. we'll revisit that later. But, yeah, you're right. So, Joe said, no, you can outthink them. You can out-strategize them. So, he started to explain the pincer move, camouflage, outflanking them. And then he opens the book to the Army Reserve, didn't he?
Yeah, to Chapter 1, which was...
Chapter 1. I actually have forgotten.
It's surprise.
Surprise, the element surprise, of surprise, right?
Surprise is the best
surprise
weapon.
Surprise,
and
yeah, yeah.
And, yeah. Although we don't see the pages of the other chapters, but we hear them, clip art had some awesome clip art of, like, an exclamation mark in a bubble or something.
I have to say, in my opinion, clip art has made a comeback. Now, it's not like clip art the way it used to look. It's now stencil images. So, like, one color stencil images of things.
Yeah.
But
like so vector graphics now. Or.
Yeah, vector, like single color, stencil style graphics.
But if you you can get good sets of vector graphics through stop signs, right?
Yeah, you can.
That are good and effective, but we know the classic clip art, the horrible black. Like black figures, you know, sounds really bad, but you know, like the stick figures that had like were holding like pencils and stuff. Like it was really horrible stuff.
I find your views offensive, Swinny.
All right, sorry. Colored stick figures that were holding.
Have you been?
Colored stick. It's even worse.
You died. I have to try
stop
to be,
violating him, John. Sorry. Jesus, quit it.
So wait, can I actually ask you, Swinny, what's more offensive, coloured or black?
I'm not going to answer that question.
What?
I reckon it just seems to change every decade. I don't know what's going on.
All right, we'll move on with your holes dug. Okay, so all right, element of surprise. So Joe and the Ferals decide to charge the enemy.
Can I just? No, you go first. I've got something to talk about this point.
Well, I was just going to say, who thought that this scene was really strange, the slow motion?
I didn't, and I'll tell you why in a sec. Oh.
Well, to me, like, it seems like an homage to Gallipoli in the Gallipoli movie as well.
It is indeed, including the music. So, in a little fun fact, in Gallipoli, 1981 film, with Mel Gibson and... I don't remember the name of the other dude. When he is tasked... Do you guys remember... Because we watched this at school. Do you guys remember the part where he has to take a letter or something? Or he has to take a... I forget what. He has to run to the other side of the camp. And it's playing Oxygen by Jean-Michel Jarre, who used to be an electronic composer back in like the 70s and 80s and stuff. And this music isn't that, but it's... very, you know, close. It's kind of like a rendition of the same sort of song. So you can tell the whole idea was inspired from there, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mike, where the hell have you been? This is what we want from you every episode.
I'm sorry.
Nah, that's awesome because I thought the music was brilliant. I didn't know that. That's a good pickup, man.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Jean-Michel Jarre, Oxygen. You guys should check it out. Pretty cool. Cool track.
Does he also do the Alouette song?
No, he did not do the Alouette song.
Was he?
Isn't the Alouette song French and Canadian, though? Not actual from France, France.
Jeez.
We established last
time. Just dropping bombs left, right, and center now. Chapter 5 of the Army Reserve. Mike is the weapon.
Mike, the living weapon.
Exactly, dropping bombs, French Canadian. anyway, so yeah, the Ferals run into a hole. That Keith and Kylie have...
It's a trench, isn't it?
A trench? Oh, yes. How do they dig this so quickly?
I don't know. They did this whole set up. Very quick. Oh, it was awesome.
It was a really cool
but
set.
They've done this a few times where they've had trenches in this show. And it wasn't a Keith and Kylie last time as well that dug a trench? And Joe fell into it?
They dug that hole when Joe was being battered the entire episode.
Yeah, they dug it and they covered it up with like some leaves and stuff.
So they're very good at digging
trenches.
Trying
to trap. Yeah, I can't remember who it was.
You know, kangaroos and koalas are known for being their underground animals.
Exactly. Surely they need the wombat to come back to make that make sense.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, now we have like Keith and fake Kylie trying to figure out how they can defend their fortification. And did Kylie just like fake Kylie just jump past and see the force field machine, or did she hear about it?
No, well, what happens is Keith says, "Oh, Kyles, I don't know if I can fight any more battles, Kyles. My stomach's really empty." And she says, "You stay here and hold the fort while I go look for supplies." Then walked past and she saw Robbie and Lenny leave the force field. Just leave it out on the porch like it's just nothing. Just leave it on the porch.
So. Exactly. That's where all good inventions to go, porch outside.
But she had a slight moment of, like, good conscience where she's like,
"Yes,
I'm not going to steal it. I'll steal it."
So this is a kid's show, right? And this is actually, I think, the first time I've ever felt like, oh, wait, this character looks like it's weighing the moral decisions. It's not like, yeah, just steal it. Who cares? She steals it anyway, so maybe that makes it worse. I don't know. It's like she knows she's doing the wrong thing versus all the rest of them who just do the wrong thing.
Easily the most prominent episode that Kylie's ever had.
Oh.
And I reckon she actually delivers in this episode.
Yeah, she wasn't bad.
Yeah, I know.
She's still, her acting's still a bit, I don't know, it's just... It doesn't match.
It's much better in this one, but maybe it's still weird.
Well, sorry, fake Kylie. I thought it was weird in some places where you know how it looks like she was trying to hop when she's moving, and then it's like the puppeteer just couldn't be bothered and just started like walking normally again, and then go back to hop. I don't know.
It must be tiring to like. Oh, I don't know how much the puppets weigh. We didn't really find that out for Mel, did we?
They wouldn't weigh that much, surely.
Okay. I don't know.
Because they're not that big.
But I guess holding your arm up can get tiring. But I guess for a puppeteer, you're probably used to that. So.
That is your job, so it's true. But yeah, I guess it would be. So they've stolen the force field. And now Joe has a new plan. And of course, it relies on Darren playing a very important role, as all these plans do, for whatever reason. It's not any of the other Ferals, it's... Dopey Darren.
And the plan
and
was
going to play a decoy.
Yeah, the plan was taken from Chapter 2 of the Army Reserve Manual.
very convenient.
The decoy. Now, I like how Chapter 1 of the Army Reserve Manual is surprise is the best weapon, not like, you know, something a lot more basic than that. It's like straight into war strategies.
Yeah, I know. And then decoy is the next one. So, and he's also, I like how he's wearing a target on his front.
I didn't even notice that.
A literal target. Like, it's like cardboard with a target on it.
Bullseye target. And yeah, Darren hits the force field with his head, and all the other Ferals try to go through it as well. And it is pretty funny. The puppeteering in this is pretty funny, especially Moddy. Shout out to Mel with that. I thought that was a really good one, actually. Did you see when she was, like, trying to go in and she just, like, flung back, like, so aggressively? So that's when we get up to Chapter 3 of the Army Reserve Manual, which is retreat.
Great strategy there, so messed up. Australian Army Reserve, clearly.
I know! That is, like... It's, like... I don't know. It's, like, offensive or something. It's crazy, man.
There's no actual proper fighting. There's just trying to surprise them and failing at it. Trying to sneak up to someone failing at it.
And then retreat.
And then retreating, because everything failed.
I know, it's crazy. So then we have the Ferals and Joe talking around the fire. I've written the secret weapon, but I've forgotten what the secret weapon was. Do you remember what the secret weapon?
Oh, I can't remember. I just remember him talking about Chapter 4, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. So, because they've got to do reconnaissance now.
Yes.
And I do enjoy this where, so they're saying Darren, again, why is Darren always the key man in all these plans? It's so ridiculous. They say he's going to scout. So he comes back dressed as an actual scout, which you know, made me laugh. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Now, you know what
and
I...
And Joe's like...
You know, sorry, you know what I realised is that I don't know how to spell the word reconnaissance off the top of my head. That really disappointed me.
That's not an easy word.
I know,
spell.
It's not an easy... Is that a French word?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
definitely. No, I'm not going to do a fake French word.
Reconnaissance.
Same as...
Mike, what was that?
No, I'm saying, yeah, it is. I tried to type it in, and it doesn't help. Not only is it a hard word to spell, it doesn't help that
I have fat fingers and I mistype some of the some of the, no, the letters as
you
well.
You haven't got fat... No, no, okay, let me clarify that. Mike doesn't have fat fingers, he's just got huge friggin' hands.
They're pretty big, yes. And by massive. The way, there's no correlation between that and something else, unfortunately. So...
exactly, so it makes it look smaller.
Way smaller.
He your said, nose, unfortunately.
Yes. So I tried to spell it, and I ended up putting R-E-C-C-O-I-N-I-D-A-C-N-E, which obviously isn't how I was going to spell it anyway. And it goes, did you mean retinoid acne or reconnect? And it goes, no results containing all your search terms were found. That's the first time I've ever typed something into Google where it's found nothing. At all.
Yeah, I know. It's so freaky, isn't it? It's happened once or twice.
Retinoid acne.
Search for something.
What is retinoid acne?
Let's find out. Retinoid acne.
So, like, something... It's because it's got nothing to do with your retina, because that's your eye. So, what's your retinoid? And how can you get acne on it? It must be something on your skin.
Vitamin A derivatives, which have proven very effective at unblocking pores.
Okay, so that was lame.
Well, that was boring.
So,
very lame.
Yeah, I know. I got around the spelling by just saying recon, which I know is reconnaissance. So. But I actually thought just then, I don't think... someone said, here's $1 million if you could spell reconnaissance. Could you do it?
I don't think... Like, if you only had one attempt, no. I wouldn't
be able to. Yeah, I'm not sure if I... Yeah. Would you gamble $1,000 to win $1 million to try to spell reconnaissance?
No.
Oh, I was so close. All right, I tried it again.
Oh, sorry. And I'll just say, it depends how much money, like, spare money I have.
Okay, I shit you not. I actually tried to type it in properly now, and the only thing I got wrong was the double N. Because there's a double N and a double S. So close!
Oh, wait, I've spelt it. Let's see how close I've come.
I'm going to see how close
I've come. Oh, my God, way off.
Samsonite.
I got the double N and double S.
I was way off.
I missed an I, and I got an O where there should be an A.
I missed the I and the double S. That's it.
Okay, we're all about...
I missed the simple days.
About the same.
When we were young and free.
Terrible spellers, man. Terrible.
That's a hard word.
All right.
That's a hard
and probably had better spelling skills than we do now.
I used to be able to spell silhouette, which I actually, someone, it was a bizarre situation. I think I was watching some TV show and they go, oh, no one knows how to spell silhouette. So then I purposely remembered how to spell it. And it actually came up in a meeting one time. Like, oh, silhouette.
Hey.
Like, they were writing silhouette on the board. And I'm like, yeah, I can spell it.
I just spelled.
And everyone's like, whoa, that's amazing.
I just spelled silhouette. I didn't realize I could.
Go on.
No, I could. First of all, show me right in front of me so I can tell you. So it doesn't matter. It's not like I'm doing it off the top of my head. No, but
how about you, Mike? How would you spell silhouette?
S I H L O U. Silhouette? I don't know. How?
It's tough because it does have two H's. So
it's a very hard word to spell. What did you say, John?
What?
What did you say?
I'm
joking. Oh, you're staring.
I'm joking.
I got excited. All right, let's get back to it. I wrote silhouette in my notes now.
Well, hang on. S-I-L-H.
You didn't say L.
I'm joking.
I did. Silhouette. Why wouldn't I say silhouette when there's clearly an L in there?
Swinny, did he say L?
Did I not say L?
S-I-H-L.
Yeah, he said S-I-H-L.
I think the recording might be wrong on that.
I don't even think you said L.
No, I think I did say H-L. You're right, but it's probably L-H, I'm assuming.
It is L-H, but... Well, I've got a recording of this, so I can...
Ah, la silhouette.
Alright, so now Joe and the Ferals are meant to be on watch. I don't know why they're on watch. Why can't they just go back into the shed? And away from the Keith and Faye Kylie.
Because they're at the tip, which is a
block
away.
Why can't you just butter both sides of the toast and that way it's not going to fall down and hit the floor on one side because it's just going to like keep spinning in midair because it doesn't know how to fall. Huh?
Floats if you do it.
Can I just ask?
I assume so. I've never tried it.
We know the Ferals don't use logic, right? We know that. So, this is probably a very stupid question, and it would completely, you know, strip the whole point out of this episode. Why were the Ferals so keen to get to Keith and Kylie?
Well, they wanted the tip back.
Was that it? It's just that we're taking this one particular spot in the tip. Because it wasn't the whole tip, it was just like this one spot.
Yeah, it was the car and everything.
You know
like
how
that.
It is.
Couldn't they have just gone away something. And come back like 2 weeks later and they would have been dead from starvation?
Yeah, exactly. Skeletonized.
No, but you know the whole tip thing? No, I agree. I'm like, dude, there's like a giant tip there. Just pick another part of the tip. Doesn't work like that. It's when you can't have
but
something
it's not just
is
the
when
tip.
You really,
it's
really
not
want
just
it.
The tip.
It's not just the tip.
You know, that's the second time I made the tip joke in like 24 hours.
Where else did you make it? Last night?
Was that the
with your wife?
Christmas party.
Oh, okay.
No, it was at the Christmas party, and this guy was showing me his Disney tattoo, and he had to pull his pants down a bit. I'm like, whoa, that... He goes, and then I said to him, don't worry, I didn't see anything, I just saw the tip. This guy was like, yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I like
Christmas
this
party's on a Saturday, because you went to a Christmas...
I like this guy.
Yeah, he's got my sense of humour.
Okay, alright.
He's dark, he's
didn't,
dark.
Didn't you anyway. Also have a Christmas party last night, sweetie?
Oh, God, don't.
See, no, don't you can tell us all about it in a sec, but all I was going to say is... That
no,
makes sense.
Don't.
Christmas parties on a Saturday, to me, make perfect sense. None of this Wednesday, Thursday business.
Wednesday, Thursday? How are you going to have a party?
Well, no, I was saying you can't have a party, but they make you have a party on a Wednesday and a Thursday night, and you have two choices. You either get completely smashed, as you should at a Christmas party, and then rock up the next day with a headache because you can't take a day off because it's going to be way too suspicious. Or you don't drink. And then it's like, what's the point of having a Christmas party?
But they purposely do it like that. It's cheaper, and then it's also less likely to get out of control, right?
Yeah, look, it makes sense from a business perspective, but, you know, you lose the spirit of a Christmas party. What you guys had is heaps better.
Getting drunk.
So what happened at the Christmas
people?
Party? Swinny, huh? Tell us.
Yeah.
No, look, it was at a race course, and because it's like a Christmas horse races thing, if you're not into horse racing or betting on horse racing, then... It's kind of like nothing else to do. So it was really...
That's a pretty loose Christmas party.
It was really...
The trots.
Yeah, it was really boring. It was. And,
surely you'd be drinking, though.
No, you had to pay for drinks.
You had to pay for your drinks.
I had to pay for their own
drinks. I couldn't believe this. That's so bad.
Now,
that's so bad.
I will say there was like there was a tab for certain people, but it was like a hidden tab.
What?
And you need to know about it.
That's worse.
And we
I
got
know.
Access.
You can't do that.
My colleague, who was already drunk by that point, the last person to you'd want to have this, he had the card by the end of the night when everyone else had gone.
Uh-oh.
So he's like, how much is left? So then we just burn through the remainder of the credit on the tab. So.
Well, I thought you left early.
Yeah. Trust me.
What, so everyone left earlier than you're early?
Like, there was meant to be like 40 people, only 30 people rocked up. And okay. by the time I left, there was about 8 people.
Which was like 9 o'clock.
9:30 or so, yeah.
The party only started at like 8:45.
No, it started like 6 o'clock. But
okay.
Can I just say that we're doing shots, and because of the nature of the license in that particular section of the venue, they can't legally do shots. So you know what they do?
What?
So we had a Sambuca shot, and, you know, they're normally obviously in a normal shot glass.
Mm.
They put a normal glass down with a shot amount in it, and they put a tiny bit of ice in it. And that's
Rip-hole.
How they allow you to do shots. And I didn't realize that, so I'm going to do the shot, and suddenly I'm like half choking on a piece of ice. Like, what the hell is this?
Because that's a lot safer.
I'm like, what the hell is this? I just thought they ran out of shot glasses awesome. Or something.
Yeah, they have that in Newcastle, I think it's meant to be called, up here
Newcastle.
In New South Wales. You're not allowed to have shots anymore. And
why
I think
is
they do
that?
Jello shots now? I think Jello shots are
I love
are
these loopholes, man. I love. But why, what's like the... Does
fruit?
Anyone know why you can't have shots? What's the...
Because
you can't control the
Newcastle,
drinking?
It just, like, the violence got out of hand,
okay.
Like, big time.
Like, you got to admit, shots are one of the things that get people to... So quickly to that.
Yeah,
point.
That's true. I can imagine because you can't do 2-3 and you don't even know.
Yeah.
On the other hand, shots are the only way you can do
like
tequila.
That.
Wink, wink.
Body shots. You could do body shots, eh?
Absolutely. That's what I was trying to imply. Yes, that's why I said wink, wink. But he obviously can't see me winking, so I had to say wink, wink.
Yeah.
So the ferals, I am winking as well. Can you hear that?
So the ferals all fall asleep.
Wake up, tied up, just like some of the people in John's party did the next day.
Yes.
And what happened was they were all meant to rotate the watch, and it got up to Joe, and he fell asleep.
So they dishonorably discharge Private Joe King.
He's out of here.
Yep, they called him Private Joe King. Now, what I love about that is that means his full name is Private Joe Wanking.
I don't think he can be a private, though. I don't think Army Reserves are private.
He was calling himself General Joe, okay? I don't think titles matter.
General Joe sounds cool.
Well, they missed General an obvious Joe, a joke. An obvious Joe, huh? Of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe King.
Oh, G.I. Joe.
Now, they probably might not have wanted to do that for licensing reasons, but they've mentioned a couple G.I. shows in this Joe. Show. So, Mary Poppins and things, is that because that's outside of the IP laws or whatever?
No, of course not. Of course not, because it's satire. You can say whatever you want in that case.
I reckon they could have said, G.I. Joe King.
That is terrible. That is terrible. You are 100% right. G.I. Joe. They surely could have made it easy. Like, just even that is funny by itself, but you could, you know, G.I. Joe, G.I. I don't know. I'm not a writer. I think of something. G.I. No. And I was like, no, that's shit.
I've got a clip, or a part of the clip, actually, that I was going to talk to you guys about.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can just...
Okay. What is this?
Follow the link.
Going off script here.
Is it like a timestamp? Right? Do I need the volume? What's going on?
Yeah, you need volume.
Oh, man, this is killing my ear, man. It goes for 10 minutes.
You just want to extend this podcast, Mike.
I don't think this works that well with just audio, by the way, dude.
Maybe you should just describe the clip.
Michael is sensitive.
I don't think you can describe this.
Best of G.I. Joe public service announcements, but it's very visual humor.
Of course, it's like, I have a computer, stop all the downloading.
me.
I'll copy it and put it in the show notes.
So I'm sure most people who would probably ever find it funny have already ever seen it.
Yeah, it's true.
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of things that people have not seen. Like, you guys remember the Badger song?
I think, like, there's like so much stuff out there, it's impossible to watch everything.
Yeah, even just the tip. There's a lot of people who don't get the reference.
Well, I think people are just less childish than us, right?
There's also that, yes.
Okay, so, where are we up to? So,
well, Darren brings in Lenny.
That's right. And we also have this part where, was it Moddy that said to Joe, your brains are in your behind?
Yeah, I can't remember what he said.
Which is so weird. No, that was which is so weird.
There was a setup joke before it. And was it made it? Sense. Yeah, he said, like, I'm the brains behind this operation. And she said, your brains are behind it.
Yeah. So now we've got Lenny, because Lenny wants to get his sniff back, and he's found out that fake Kylie has stolen it.
Sorry, that makes it sound like it's his mojo. he needs his sniff back.
Okay, so is this the part where we want to play the clip?
Yes, an awesome interaction, as usual, between Radis and Keith.
Yeah, so this is when they're fighting for control of the tip.
You're always picking on us.
Yeah, you think you're so tough. Yeah. Oh, goes like a gum leaf eucalyptus breath.
Oh. Good idea.
Got any? Oh, yeah.
The delivery.
I think that was my favourite part of the episode.
The delivery
actually
was brilliant. It was amazing.
Got
that,
any?
That pause and the got any?
Got any?
Still my favorite character.
It was. I will say, it was good foreshadowing character of what's come in a couple of scenes or next scene or whatever about Keith as well. So
that's true. There was a few good exchanges actually in this bit. I wrote a few of them down. So this is where we have like. I thought that was actually going to be the solution to this episode, like that Deus Ex Machina thing again, where Robbie is like skydiving just randomly and lands right next to them.
Yeah, that was a little
That was slightly... I mean, she mentioned it earlier in the episode. She goes, hey, I'm going to go skydiving.
Did she?
Yeah.
But that one definitely felt a bit like, what?
Did you just think she randomly parachuted in?
Yeah.
No. She said, don't forget your skydiving timetable or something at the start of the episode.
Oh, okay.
I will concede that was probably a little contrived.
I knew that would come into play. I remembered that because it sounded so weird for Robbie to do something like parachuting. So I'm like, that's going to come up. So I knew that was going to come in. She hadn't been seen since then, so I'm like, she's going to come in soon. So.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, this gives Lenny the idea to parachute in. Now, I'm just going to, sort of loop that off. They end up hatching a plan to get Robbie and Darren. What?
Can I just say, parachuting in. So, if the force field only affects the head,
mm-hmm.
I assume this force field was, like, spherical, round.
Same as I believe.
Now... That means if she drops in, and if it only affects her head, does that mean if she drops through, she's going to get decapitated from gravity or falling?
That's so screwed up, but yeah, you're right. The force of it is going to rip her head off.
That's like something out of Happy Tree Friends or something.
It's true. So yeah, the plan that they hatch is for Robbie and for Darren, of course. You know, he's always the point guy on this, to parachute in, and they fail. Like, it's... I don't know. It's pretty lame. They end up parachuting in. They just land straight there. In the meantime, we have Mixie, who suggests that she could dig a tunnel. And we also have Keith, who's now getting too hungry. And he's looking for gummies.
He's...
Which was, again, really funny.
He's in a daze.
Gotta get out. Gummies. That reminded me of Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, when he goes all crazy.
Well, it reminded me of... it's like you could do a perfect crossover with that in the Vietnam section of Meet the Feebles.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
With the junkie guy that ends up stabbing himself in the head. Knife-throwing guy.
Speaking of the jungle part, was the jungle scene there already? I don't remember when that was shown, when they're sitting at the campfire. That was already in it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Like you could tell it was because in during the day you could tell it was just a hand painted backdrop, but the way they put it all together during nighttime made it such a cool little scene. Like it felt like they're really in a jungle.
Yeah, that was the scene when they were talking about reconnaissance. So yes, go back 20 minutes ago.
I'll take these comments out and whack them in there.
Thank you.
No, it was good.
Okay, So Mixie goes off to dig a tunnel, and then Joe becomes a traitor and wants to... I don't understand why he wants to go in. Well, it's because they got rid of him? He wants to be on one side or the other?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, but I didn't click. I thought that he was trying to be a decoy for the parachuting.
I did as well. I was thinking that all the way through, and then he got in... And then they even say, oh, Joe got in. What a traitor or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. So it wasn't part of the plan. And then I thought, why don't they just try to do that? Why don't they use that as the plan?
Well, because he hates them. He's against them now because they backstabbed him.
How did they backstab him?
Because they... Well, they had that disagreement where they're like, oh, Joe, you suck.
Dishonorably discharged
him. Yeah, when they discharged him. Okay, so he's like, well, screw you guys. That's it. I'll defect and go to North Korea then. Or technically South Korea.
Now, did you guys... You saw that there were gum leaves and there were actual proper gum leaves.
Yes. I don't know. What was in the middle?
Did you... Yeah, what was that thing?
It was obviously something like lipstick
or something.
Yeah, it must have been something like that. It was something that Kylie would eat.
I thought it was some hippie stuff. Yeah. Did you say what it was?
No, I didn't know what it was. For some reason, I don't know why I didn't go back and check it, because it was weird. It kind of looked like a tube of something.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't know what.
Yeah. I figured it was some kind of like hippie thing, but I couldn't make it out. I tried to see it a few times, and I'm like, I was hoping one of you guys figured it out.
But I love that.
It's going to be a mystery.
He finally tips him over the line by saying, yeah, he brought some rations and pulls it all out. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was pretty funny, actually. In the end, the Ferals are actually happy that Joe is on their side because he thinks that that's going to tip the balance. into their favour. So we see Mixie has successfully popped out of the tunnel, and she's just about to turn off the sniff machine, and she gets nabbed by fake Kylie and Keith. And again, Joe has failed in his duty on patrol.
Keith and Kylie are good at holding that ground.
Mm.
I know. The fortification skills are pretty good. It's like the French in World War One. anyway, one thing I did want to say is, you know the next plan, how they got sounds of gummies getting cut down and Joe's house and everything?
Yeah.
That stereo that they had, we had that stereo. Like, my family had that
really?
Stereo.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the real crazy-looking red, black, like, something that I don't think could exist today unless it was, like, a throwback to that time.
Well, I've noticed there are doing throwbacks.
They do throw back digital radios and stuff like that.
They do, and a whole suite of, I think it was Dick Smith, out of all places, that they started to sell toasters and all sorts of little knickknacks like that. And a lot of their range...
I wonder why they're going out of business.
Yeah, exactly. Same as in JB, a lot of the latest stuff is this retro-looking 50s crap. It's just weird that they're bringing that back.
Mm.
It's not weird. Yeah, it's itself, diary. So.
It's cool. Like, look, it used to be cool back then, that whole, you know... what's the actual... There's a name for it, that retro-futuristic design. There's a particular... That Art Deco sort of style that they used to have in the
Deco,
20s
yeah,
and
yeah.
up to the 50s or something.
Art Deco's in the 20s, yeah. I don't know if you could call the 50s stuff Art Deco, but I know what
you know saying. What I mean. Yeah, that kind of
it's like
between the 20s
excessive
and
50s. Piping and all that.
Yeah,
kind of
so stuff, chrome yeah. and lots of, you know, shiny plastic bits with rounded edges.
I know we're going way off track here, but you know what? I'm kind of getting annoyed about this. Is kind of like a throwback from the past to the future and all. Like, so I hope that's the tie-in. It's, do you know those two-wheel self-balancing boards
yes,
that they have now?
Which
yeah, we're talking
about apparently
like
illegal.
Segways without... Yeah, yeah. But the fact that people call them hoverboards, it pisses
yeah,
me off.
Yeah, I know.
They're not hoverboards,
no,
man.
They're not hovering.
They're not
what the hell? They have wheels that are attached to the ground with friction and shit.
I think they call them swagways in the UK.
Swagways.
Like with a W?
Yeah, okay. They should call them swagways.
Swagways. Isn't it true that you're not allowed to legally use them on the footpath or the street? Is that true?
I don't think you're legally allowed to use them in most states.
Why?
You can't register.
But I don't get that. Like, it's a motorized vehicle. Fair enough. I can see why it kind of fits under that. But what's the difference between that and, you know, those bikes where you could put an electric motor on it? Which
to
I
me,
think
to me.
They're also illegal.
Ah,
to
I
me,
did not know.
You put them in the same exact grouping as an electrical scooter. When I say scooter, you know, like the feet, you know,
yeah.
like not the motorbike style scooters, and skateboards. Like,
yeah,
they're
same.
All the same
That's
kind of
what
thing.
I would
now, the speed, I'm assuming the speed.
It's
but
pretty
then
crap.
A skateboard can be. The skateboards can go very quick when they're on a downhill
you
slope.
You can go
so.
Faster with a skateboard, I reckon. I reckon you'd be able to go faster with
a
skateboard powered by your
a
foot.
Bit tricky. No, look, it's but skateboards aren't motorized. The key is it's motorized.
I see.
That's what they
I obviously
about.
See what that's the key, but it's really weird that that's why they draw the line regardless of what the device is capable of doing. If it has a motor, that's it. So, like for instance, hypothetical scenario, right? I get a couple of those tiny
yes.
Tamiya cars. You know the ones, I don't know if you guys remember the ones that
just
go in a straight line because all they had is a basic motor and like wheels on the sides to bump against walls and shit. And I pull the motor out, or I pull the whole base of the car and I attach it to some shoes, and then I use those to, like, propel myself down the street. Do you think that they would count that as being illegal as well? By law, I guess
probably.
It is, because it's a motorized form of transport.
No, it's just that, you know, they have to have a classification of it. If it doesn't have a classification, then you can't have it, right? So, a lot of things have now been classified. It's like, you know, those motorized bicycles that you're talking about. I believe if they are limited to a certain speed, then they're not illegal. Above that speed, you have to register them.
But
people
wouldn't
are doing
it be
really
the same with these
things?
Like, if these things are restricted, would
no,
they?
No, because they're not classified. They're not classified as anything. They don't fit in any bucket.
So, if they don't,
so
fit,
if
in
don't
bucket,
fit in a bucket,
how can
you... You can't be registered.
Yeah, but
so
but hang
kind of
on,
illegal.
Like, where do they draw the line of going on a footpath? Is the footpath usage... Because you can, for instance, a push bike. Are you allowed to use a push bike on a footpath?
No, not in most states.
Oh, okay.
don't know. It's also confusing.
But a lot of
it's
people
just
do.
Like, is it just me, and though, where instinctively it feels well. Weird that something like that would be illegal?
I'm not very... I'm more pro-liberty, so I think, you know, let people sort it out. Go use it, you know.
Yep.
If you cause problems with it, then... No. I'm saying if I was to write the laws, I wouldn't ban things
yeah,
left, right, like the government does. But if you go and cause an accident or something like that, then you get sued to hell and you have to pay that back. And if you're broke for the rest of your life, that's your own fault. Mm.
So, Monkey Boy.
Yo.
That awesome tape player that you had, your family had, did they play the same awesome sound effects that the Ferals did in this episode?
Ah, I see what you're doing. Yes, you're trying to get us back on track, you sly motherfucker.
Future Luke. Yes, they did. We would often wake to the sound of gummies getting cut down, and I'd wake up, gummies, I want my gummies. So this is the part, this is where we get up to the fun part, where Mixie gets tortured.
Yes.
Yes, fun and part, yes.
Until she said about the torturing, I thought, wow, Fake Kyle is actually smart, because she stops Keith and Joe from being distracted by the sounds of their house or Gumtree getting distracted. Shit. And then she turns around and says, Let's torture the prisoner. So, can I just say, we know what happens, and I think it's actually done really well, but it still sounds really bad at times, is in this show we've had racist stereotypes, Raddus with a cleaver threatening to open Mixie, Moddy.
Chainsaws.
Moddy as a pudgy pussy in a bikini. We've had Raddus trying to shit out a bomb, and in the same episode him tied up and everyone disappointed that his bits aren't going to fly everywhere. Was torture the remaining thing other than maybe alcohol?
I think so. Well, gambling, they've already got drugs in the form of gummies, so that's that.
We've had gambling. Lots of gambling,
actually. Gambling, yeah. Multiple times, that's true. No, but probably like skipping all the way through it, but... So, at the start, she's like, oh, we'll torture the prisoner. I was like, what the hell? This is like so screwed up, right? Then it turns out they're going to torture her with feathers, so it's sort of like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So Raddus and Fake Kylie are trying to negotiate, and the negotiations fail, and then Fake Kylie's like, "Oh, that's fine. We'll just kill her." I was like, "What? This is so messed up."
I was saying my notes. It says they want them to sign a peach treaty.
That's awesome. Probably makes more sense than the show, but
but all throughout this scene, and it goes for a while, but. Like, this ongoing thing with the torturing of Mixie. Her screams are deafening. It sounds sounds like they're actually doing harm to her.
So. Yeah, no, exactly, it does. I feel like we missed the second clip, did we? Or are we up to it now?
The sound clip?
Yeah.
No, we've already covered it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was about that was when they were playing the tape recorder.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was it? I'm just trying to remember. I'm just playing it now. If it plays, that's not. Oh,
nah, that's all. We've covered it.
It's dead. You're dead to me.
No, I just saw you just didn't want to use the clip. I'm like, fine, we'll just talk.
No. I didn't know what the clip was about. Yeah, I don't know. Future Luke will have to cover this, but I thought it was pretty f***ed up. Like, you know, at first I was like, oh, okay, no, they're not really torturing her. And then she's like, oh, no, we're just going to kill her. And it was just so nonchalant. It was like, oh, yeah, we're just going to kill. Who cares? So.
And I can't remember, was this the part, was it around here when Lenny and Robbie ran back and then Robbie realised, oh, I can use the guitar.
Yeah. So she remembers that you can use the guitar. They were trying to remember what song it was. And then they remember and disrupt the force field.
And the conditions...
And then that's it.
The conditions of the peach treaty was the ferals have to stop insulting them. They can never go near the car again. And which kind of negates the second point, they have to give them the tip forever, which had the car's in anyway. So,
But that's where the peach treaty, broke down. Because Raddus was like, nah, stuff that, you know, I'm not going to do that, so...
But he was just, this whole time, he was just delaying them while Lenny and Robbie...
Yeah, they were just trying to stall.
Found a way to disable the sniff machine thingy without knowing they actually had a way to disable it. So, he essentially could have just been prolonging this indefinitely until, you know, they might not have ever found a way.
So, I mean, that's when Joe implements, what was it, Chapter 5 of the Australian Army Reserves Manual? Surrender?
Yes.
So, yeah, he surrenders, and that's sort of the end of that. Then we see during the credits that Lenny has devised, he's, like, modified the sniff machine. So, instead of, like, having force fields around the sniff machine, it's like, you know, force fields in remote places.
It's weird.
That's the best way I could describe
it. It's like, you assumed it was almost like little separate devices, but then they just looked at the one on their porch. But we didn't exactly clarify what happened at the very end, which was Robbie rocked up with the guitar, she'd remembered it, and then Radis screwed up the peach treaty paper and actually threw it, and then that's when they realised it's
right. Oh, yeah, that's right. It went through, right. And then they all were like, oh, we're in trouble
just
now.
For the people that, you know, are never going to watch this episode, which we just need to close it.
The people who are adding up the points at home.
I always think about that. If people's interpretation of this show, who don't watch the episodes, this must sound like, after 29 episodes, like, if they don't know what any of them look like, if they don't know what the sets look like.
We haven't described anything like that, have we?
No, but they must have pulled something together in their head. What do they think this world looks like? If they must think it looks really cartoonish, and, well, it kind of does. It's also realistic at times, you know?
It's very gritty, yeah. It's very gritty at times, isn't it? So, I'm going to postulate something. So, Lenny traps Keith and fake Kylie in the car, Joe in his house, and the ferals in the shed. And I reckon it's like Lenny's just trying to have a bit of privacy with Robbie.
Was thinking the same thing, yes.
Yeah, yep. See? Thank you. Thank you. I'm not crazy.
Private Lenny Leonard.
Because they look very sus. They look very close at the end. Maybe this is the classic TV show trying to loop it all up at the end.
We'll see what happens.
They have
at the
one
end
more episode.
Yes.
All the right. One featuring, so, I mean, that covers the episode.
Yeah.
So I...
What did you say?
I said the one featuring Lee.
Super fan.
I thought you said one for each ring. And I was like, what are you saying?
One Lee anyway. To rule them all.
exactly.
Can I just say, there's something I want to cover, but it's probably best to cover it after we do the ratings of the episode. So.
Okay. Well, I think we're up to the ratings, unless there's anything that we missed in the episode. Nope. Okay.
Nope.
I'll lead the batting this time. So I gave this episode 5 out of 10.
Whoa, okay.
I thought it was good. I didn't laugh a lot in the episode. And it's like, I don't know. I think it'll be pretty forgettable as well. So, yeah, I thought I had to give it a 5. How about you, Swinny?
Okay. I give this episode a 10.
Whoa.
Oh, jeez.
Because not only did I laugh so much in this episode, but the storylines were all pulled together really well. They set every little bit up. You know, with the Robbie parachute thing, with the Robbie guitar.
Yep.
It all made sense. It was all shot really well with fantastic, as we said, like, camera work and everything. I can't fault this episode, especially as a kid's show, although the torturing thing was and talking about guns.
I can't fault the episode, however.
No,
threatening to torture and kill
As a kid's show, it was really good, apart from those things. But from me watching it, 10 out of 10, definitely. I loved it.
Damn. How about you, Mike?
Well, to be honest, while watching it, I was going to give it a 9. And then I think retrospectively, when I thought about it a little bit and I thought, hey, look, this was a bit contrived, this needed a bit of work here and there, I think I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, but inching towards a 9. So if I could give it an 8.5, which I can't, I would.
So, a hard 8.
So, but if you could give it 8.5, then you round up, so you give it a 9.
So, I guess I'll give it a 9, then.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not how it works. You truncate it.
Stop talking at me, finance man.
Well, let's go.
So, I'm going to write 8. I'm writing 8, because you said 8.
Okay, let's go with 8. It's fine.
Okay, well, this is pretty different ratings. Did you find it funny, like, Swinny?
Oh, you're talking to Mike.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, yeah. I forget where. I didn't have it in my notes, but there was a particular part where I laughed out loud. I sure that's okay. Funny. And then I'm like,
sounds like you're talking, why am I talking to someone to myself? In the room.
If there was like such a, I don't know if there's such a thing as an audio dictionary, but I guess there probably is. But if you had an entry for LOL, and that would be the perfect thing, like laugh out loud, like
I did. I literally lolled.
That's great. It's true.
I lily lolled.
Hmm.
Lil old.
Literally.
Whatever. Double LOL.
Okay, I think that wraps us up for this episode. Next episode is Season 2, Episode 15, Fossil Fuels, the final Ferals show. And we will have one show after that to wrap it all up. All these little loose ends that we have. But for now, it's bye.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.